Hello and welcome to 5 Things to Know About Siegfried from the Atlanta Opera Podcast. I'm Roberto Calv, and it's a pleasure to guide you through one of the most musically daring and dramatically subversive works in all of opera, Wagner's Siegfried. Here are 5 things to know. Number 1. Siegfried. If Die Walküre is about the power of love, then Siegfried is about the awakening of self. But Wagner doesn't dramatize this awakening through words alone. He lets the orchestra do a lot of the heavy lifting. The opening of Act 1 is a brilliant example. The creature motif slithers in the low woodwinds and strings as we enter the cave of Mime. Over this texture, we hear the anvil clangs of the Nibelung, forging tools, a mechanistic, rhythmically obsessive pattern that suggests something between a proto-industrial landscape and a parody of labor itself. Wagner was inspired himself by the banging of a smith during his own composition process. Wagner is sculpting time here. He avoids resolution, spinning his harmonies in chromatic cycles. For example, much of the harmonic material flows between B minor and F major, two very distant keys, creating a disorienting tonal ambiguity that reflects Mime's duplicity and Siegfried's ignorance of his past. When Wagner returned to Siegfried after a 12-year hiatus, he had just composed Tristan und Isolde and Die Meistersinger. The harmonic world of the final act is strikingly more advanced than the earlier acts, a microcosm of Wagner's own evolution. As Cosima, his wife, noted in her diary after a rehearsal in 1876, Wagner told her, "It is a different man who finished Siegfried than the one who began it." Number 2. The Reforging of the Sword. The sword Notung isn't just a plot device. It's a sonic symbol. It first appears in Die Walküre as a motif filled with heroic contour and dotted rhythm. But in Siegfried, Wagner reintroduces it in fragments, distorted, incomplete, mirroring Siegfried's own identity, still unformed. When Siegfried reforges the sword in Act 1, Wagner gives us one of the most arresting examples of developmental transformation in the entire Ring. The sword motif doesn't just return. It is reconstituted, harmonized with growing confidence, embedded into rising sequences that break free from the static, oppressive harmony of Mime's world. Each hammer blow lands as a percussive orchestral gesture, and when Siegfried finally lifts the completed sword, Wagner gives us a radiant harmonic shift. We move from the prevailing tonality of B minor into a sudden and brilliant E flat major, a tritone away, a modulation that feels like a veil being lifted. This orchestral climax doesn't just affirm heroism. It asserts the birth of musical agency. Cosima recorded that Wagner wept while hearing this section in rehearsal. "I have heard it in my dreams, but never so awake." Number 3. The Forest Murmurs. Act 2 includes one of the most impressionistic passages in Wagner's output, the Waldweben, or Forest Murmurs. Here, the orchestra paints an oral landscape more than it tells a story. Fragmented motifs from nature, bird calls in the woodwinds, rustling tremolos in the strings, create an atmosphere of uncanny serenity. But this isn't mere mood music. It's Wagner constructing a dramatic hinge. After slaying Fafner and tasting the dragon's blood, Siegfried suddenly understands the language of the forest bird. This moment marks a profound transformation, not in what Siegfried says, but in what he can hear. Wagner underlines this shift by altering the harmonic language. Previously rooted in chromatic instability, hovering around G minor and ambiguous diminished chords, the harmonies suddenly clarify into diatonic brightness. The bird motif sings out in E major, radiant and clean. Orchestration thins. The motif of the bird's song emerges with crystalline clarity into the solo woodwinds. This is music as epistemology, sound as knowledge. Wagner had a deep obsession with nature's acoustic dimension. During the composition of this passage, he wrote to Cosima, "There is more truth in the wind and the trees than in all the world's philosophies." Number 4, Wotan, or the Wanderer. The Wanderer's music in Siegfried is suffused with allusions to Valhalla, to the spear, to the twilight to come. But what's most striking is how these motifs are treated. When Wotan confronts Erda, his former consort in Act 3, the orchestration becomes sparse, almost brittle. Wagner strips away grandeur. We hear broken statements of the fate motif, the Valhalla motif collapsing inward. In tonal terms, Wagner avoids root position resolution. Cadences are evaded, hanging in ambiguity. For instance, in the Wanderer's confrontation with Siegfried, the spear motif is stated in D minor. When Siegfried shatters the spear, Wagner doesn't respond with bombast, but with a striking harmonic pivot, we subtly move from D minor into a bright C major a whole tone below. This shift is emblematic of Wotan's collapse. Siegfried's music, previously tethered to B flat and E flat major, now rises unchallenged. This is not a victory over evil. This is generational displacement, the quiet erasure of divine authority. As Wagner put it in a letter to August Rückel, Wotan's tragedy is not that he loses power, but that he understands too late the futility of having pursued it. Number 5, the love duet. Brunhilde's awakening in Act 3 is unlike any other awakening seen in opera. This is not a soprano regaining consciousness, it is a cosmic being confronting mortality. The music that accompanies her rising is astonishing. The dawn motif from Die Walküre returns, but is recomposed. Wagner builds long, unfolding arcs where the vocal lines hover above slowly shifting harmonic fields. We are no longer in the world of leitmotifs alone, but of extended harmonic meditation. Siegfried and Brunhilde's duet doesn't end in musical closure. Instead, Wagner stacks unresolved dominant chords, A major, E major, without full cadential resolution. The final bars surge into C major, but immediately pivot through B minor and back to A major. The sense is one of emotional radiance, tempered by harmonic instability. Cosima wrote that Wagner called the final duet the boundary of innocence and experience. Their union is ecstatic but unsustainable. The curtain falls not on fulfillment, but on the brink. Thank you for joining me on the Atlanta Opera Podcast. If you enjoyed diving into Siegfried, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. It helps others discover the depth of opera. And don't forget to follow us for more episodes.